and then they've been put on hold for about 8-9 months now while the Obama administration reviewed them, and then they were subject to a judicial challenge by the Chamber of Commerce. But all of those potential hurdles and issues at this point have been cleared away.
Let's talk a bit about what people can expect. Now that you say the hurdles have been cleared away, does that mean there's no appeal process, that everything is done and in stone, and now what happens to agencies and contractors?
Good question. There is the potential for an appeal. The decision was issued last week, and an appeal may be filed. However, unless the courts would issue a stay, at this point, the regulations would go into effect as scheduled on September 8th.
And so what, if contractors basically at this point, I mean, if contractor were to contact you and say, what should I do? Essentially, you're saying pretty much you need to go forward and do this, right?
Right. And the basic steps as far as what, you know, assuming that that everything remains in the current status, it goes into effect on September 8th. At that point, generally speaking, all new government contracts or all amendments to government contracts will seek to incorporate a provision requiring the E-Verify obligation to be conducted.
And this is anything over $100,000.
$100,000,
yeah.
That's correct.
Well, a lot of the concern that we had heard back when E-Verify first started to come to fruition is that what happens, the onus seems to fall on the contractor, or maybe does it fall on the subcontractor, who's responsible for what? Has all of that been worked out, and what are the answers?
Well, it's been worked out, and the result is that the onus does fall on the contractors and subcontractors. Essentially, the employers are now will be obligated under these requirements to run the E-Verify process, not just for the newly hired employees, which could be done today on a voluntary basis, but also for all of your current employees working on the contracts. And that's any employee who's been employed on or after November 6, 1986. That's the reason we picked that date. It's not an arbitrary date, but that's when the Immigration Reform Control Act was enacted, which essentially was the demarcation point at which people needed to demonstrate under federal law that they were eligible to work in this country. So as a practical matter, employers that have long-standing employees working on federal contracts, been with them for 20, 25 years, are now going to need to reconfirm using the E-Verify databases that those employees are, in fact, eligible to work.
Okay, so if I'm a contractor,
yep,
and I hire Chris as my subcontractor, is he then responsible for making sure his employees are certified under E-Verify, or am I responsible for making sure his employees are?
The way the regulations work, it envisions that the prime contractor, number one, will include a clause in the subcontract. So there's what's called a flow-down clause, under which the subcontractor is obliged to perform those checks. That being said, the way the regulations are worded, though, the ultimate responsibility, the prime contractor cannot rid itself or transfer the ultimate responsibility to its subcontractor.
So I better be careful about who I subcontract out to.
Subcontract to, and potentially, although not required, it may make practical sense to do some sort of follow-up or due diligence or receive confirmation from your subs that they are performing in the manner required.
And are there requirements for federal agencies to go and make sure that everyone's verified, or how does that work? How do we make sure that folks are actually doing this?
Good question. The agency mechanism, of course, step one, that the contracting officials of the agencies will be expected to include these clauses in the contracts. As far as the follow-up mechanism, there are a variety of ways that that will occur. The Department of Homeland Security, Immigration Control Enforcement, or ICE, as the agency is typically known, will be conducting compliance audits on site, and they have indicated that, and additional resources have been provided to conduct those audits. These will be audits focusing specifically on E-Verify. Additional agencies that already routinely are in the workplace auditing employers' records, such as the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs, OFCCP, and Wage Hour, both Labor Department agencies, also will be reviewing I-9 forms and related records and sharing that information back to ICE under agency sharing agreements.
It seems like there's going to be a lot more paperwork and a lot more background checking that goes along with this. Is there going to be more cost, too?
There certainly is, because as a practical matter, what we have learned from experience is that many employers, even if they have taken a permissible I-9, say for a longstanding employee, what was valid at the time for identification and satisfying the I-9 requirements does not necessarily meet the current E-Verify requirements. So I think one of the real hidden costs that has not been really focused on much is that many employers are going to face a two-step process. Step one, updating the I-9 information for their current employees, and then step two, collecting the data on the E-Verify forms and submitting that electronically to the databases.
And what sort of penalties would a contractor face if they're found to be in violation of E-Verify, whether it's intentional or not?
Right. There are a slate of escalating penalties. They can include civil fines. It can include, in egregious cases, potentially criminal penalties. As a practical matter, though, one of the most significant penalties we can expect the government to use is what's called debarment, which is, of course, removing contractors from their eligibility to either complete their current contracts or to receive future contracts.
And is it practical to believe that some of those hidden costs that you alluded to earlier will be passed along to the federal government?
Oh, I think it's almost inevitable as people begin to realize what their now adjusted, and by that I mean increased overhead is, they will necessarily have to reflect that in their costs of providing the services.
I've also heard some contractors just concerned about, they're looking to build a robust marketplace for a lot of companies, and some companies may just say, you know what, in the end, it's not worth doing business with the federal government because of this, amongst all the other requirements that feds put on contractors.
We've run into several, and a lot of these, as you indicate, are really the profile of the people you would like to see become involved in the business. They're smaller, less sophisticated, and they find this labyrinth of regulations and additional layer of requirements to be a little intimidating.
Yes, I believe you hit the understatement of the day.
Well, you know, one other thing that I think is important to recognize is that often when people submit the information to the electronic databases, both at ICE and Social Security, there are potential responses that can include what's called they get a preliminary non-verification of the individual's eligibility to work. This, I think, is a trap for the unwary, because many employers may, thinking they're doing what should be done, that is, if they've gotten something back from the government saying this individual's not eligible to work, they say, well, we'd better put that person on hold, not have him work until we get this straightened out. These regulations are very specific. That is exactly the wrong response. Employers must maintain the person. They cannot diminish their employment opportunity. So if they're training them, if they're doing a variety of other tasks, they must continue to have them work either until the employment is verified, or, number two, if they're found not to be eligible to work, then at that point, and only at that point, on the basis of this, could they then terminate or suspend their employment.
And that's a common misconception. That's where contractors may get confused.
Exactly. Because if they get that initial result that says, you know, gee, my employee's not eligible to work, and they suspend or lay the person off, they are then, you can expect, will face a retaliation claim, either from the individual or from the government.